This morning, there is a glory resting in this place this morning. There is a joy in this place this morning. There is hope. There is mercy. There is just something so beautiful that can meet and penetrate the darkest places in your life right now in the name of Jesus. God is wanting to come and move. He's wanting to come and minister. He wants you to know that you are His child and that He loves you and He has good for you and He has plans for you to prosper and to be in health even as your soul prospers here this morning. He wants to come in and the darkness of this world that has clouded you for so long, He wants to come in and just go with His light. He wants to just blow one breath from His mouth and it will penetrate the darkest, the most demonic, the things that are so dark and we feel in our lives, we cannot get rid of them. That's the place where He wants to blow one breath and it be gone in the name of Jesus. Father, You have free will to work here this morning as You will. This floor is Yours. This is Yours. Minister at need, not corporately only, but minister to the individual needs of the women in this room, Lord. They come bearing their cross and they come to Your feet, Lord, and they want to lay down their burdens and their trouble and the things of this world that torment them. They want to leave them here today, Lord, and never walk away with them again. You know, when Jesus got on the cross and said, "It is finished," do you understand that He said it was finished in your life? It is finished. It is finished. Let Him take the burden. Just rest in nothing but the best of His presence in your life. I don't know who I'm ministering to, but there is somebody here that this is for. And you're done. You're finished. And you give it to Him. You give it to Him today. It is no longer yours to carry and to torment. You lay it down at His feet right now in the name of Jesus. Father, thank You so much for the beautiful worship. Thank You so much for opening Yourself up in here, Lord, for coming and being with us, Father. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Oh, when we feel so shackled and tied down, Lord, to know that when we're in Your presence, we have freedom, freedom to be who we are. We are not women just free. We are women that are free indeed. Thank You, Father, for that prayer. Thank You for that promise. We will walk that out knowing that You are the one and the only one that can unlock the key and make us free indeed. So that we are not tormented by our past and constantly looking over our shoulder, thinking that there's something still attacking us. No, when you're free indeed, you are free indeed. And you don't walk in the things of this world. You walk in His presence. You walk in the future. You walk according to the Word of God and what is proclaimed over your life. The Lord says that He is with us in the land of the living. It says that He lays us beside still waters and that He restores our soul. Oh, nothing like having a restoration of your soul. Whew. Father, this is Yours. I thank You for this series. I thank You for this woman, these women in this room, Lord. I thank You that You brought us all here together to hear once more time from You regarding this series of You Are Worth It, Lord. You have something for us today, Lord, that we can grab hold of and take out to the ends of this earth. Lord, help us to have our ears open, our eyes available to see, our hearts ready to receive, and our mind to understand that which You are speaking today in our lives, Father. Help us not to walk out empty-handed, but so full of You, so much of You in our lives that it has to come out into other people. Father, thank You so much. Thank You so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's just give God a clap. Woo! Thank You, Jesus. Thank You so much. Oh my goodness. Fabulous. Fabulous. Thank You, Tom and Michelle.
Thank you, Tom and Michelle.
Hey, amen. Michelle has a CD. Sorry, we sold out.
It's on iTunes.
Oh, it's on iTunes. That's where I got mine. On iTunes, I think it's $8 as well, isn't it? Or $1.29.
Well, you can buy individual songs.
Yeah.
But the whole thing.
Yeah.
Kind of goes together.
Yeah, it does. It's a fabulous CD. It ministers to me all the time. So. Oh, yes, I'm going to make an announcement.
And it's
Michelle Beck.
Yeah.
Michelle Beck. Michelle Beck. Okay, so we have a fabulous baker among our midst. Her name is Jill Nickum. Woo, woo. Jill, come on. Give us a dab. No, dab. Dab. Come on. Aren't you cool? Dab. Yeah, there you go. Okay. So dabbing is like the new cool thing. I don't know. I learned everything from my middle schooler. Okay. So she has been so amazing and made us her gluten-free cake pops. Yes. And they're gluten-free, so you don't have to feel guilty. They are gluten-free. And what's special about them is that I asked her to make them purple, because purple means what? Thank you. You're so smart. Royalty. And when you say you are worth it, it's all about the royalty, ladies. Come on. You're royalty. You are worth it. And I didn't even ask her to do this, but she put on each one of them a verse from one of the prayers that we've done on every single one of the pages or the outlines, right?
Yeah, everyone has a different verse.
Everyone has a different verse. So if you're really cool, you'll go back there and find the one that ministered to you. And then it can always be something that you keep and remember. So praise God. Thank you, Jill, for doing that. That's incredible. And we also have coffee if you want some coffee. Woo! Man. This happens the last week. Do y'all remember last week, the last time? It's on the CD. It's on the CD. Everyone's like. And I say this. We're a little chatty this morning. It is cute. Yes, you eat it. You enjoy it. Eat the carbs. It's okay. All right, ladies. We're going to go ahead and start so that we can get everyone out here at a good time today and not keep you too late. We are in number 6. It's the last one of this series. I know you're going to be blessed by it. It's been ministering to me now for a while, and I'm just so thankful. I feel so much of the presence of the Lord's help this morning, and I don't know where that's coming from, but I think it has something to do with a group of ladies that meets over here and prays an hour before Bible study. For y'all, for this community, and for everyone, it just blesses me so much. Did everyone get an outline? We ran out, but we went back there and copied some more, so if you didn't, you're going to need it today. You're just going to need it. You're going to need it today. So I would go ahead and grab one. Sinful good.
It's blessed good.
It's blessed good. It's heavenly good. I love it. Okay, so the title of today's message is What's Your Character? Now, I bet y'all thought, oh, it's the last one. Today's going to be ice cream and cherries, right? No. Today I'm going to make you eat your spinach. Sorry. But I complimented it with a sweet treat in the back. So it all will even out, right? Yeah, exactly. No cream in there, just straight up spinach. Today is called What's Your Character? The Bible says to come out from among them and to be ye separated, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that one more time. The Bible says to come out from among them and be ye separated. We've all heard that verse, right? It also says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. What that means is that we live in this world, right? No escaping that, right? We don't live in, you know, an alternate universe. We live in this world. But when it says we are not of this world, it means that we don't have to live according to this world. Amen?
Amen.
That there is an alternate universe that we can live by because of what Jesus did on the cross. Praise God for that. Or we'd all be in trouble. What can you say in your own life makes you different from the world around you? This is personal. What can you personally say in your life really separates you and makes you different? And I don't want you to say, well, I've asked Jesus into my heart. No. I want you, if someone were to put you up on the stage, I promise I won't do that to you, and tell two people and say, what makes you different? And you had people that came in the audience of places that you go and people you're around, what do you think they would say about you that makes you different from the rest of the world? I'm gonna leave it at that right there. Do people know that you are redeemed? Do they know that you're transformed? Do they know that you claim to be set free? Can they see that in your life by your actions and your attitude? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Your actions and your attitude is what they see. That's what the world sees. I'm telling you something here this morning. They don't see your prayer life. They don't see that stuff. They see the example of where you've been. They see what has happened. They see the after effect of where you've been. Your action and your attitude. What is the difference in you than everyone else? And I had this question here today. What shines off of your face that makes you different than a Hindu, a Muslim, an atheist, or an agnostic? If I had all these people up here, Christian, Hindu, Muslim, agnostic, atheist, what would be different about you than them? Yes, but not by what you know, but by what people that wouldn't know. What would they see differently on you that would be different from these people that claim they all have the answers? Come on. Because everyone says they have...
We are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We are forgiven.
And we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You're right. So we would act differently. Would there be something different about us than the rest of them? Even though they all claim they have the answer, just like we do, right? But something has to be different about what shines and comes off of us compared to the rest. A love. You're right. There's going to be a ton of stuff that are going to come to your heart, and I kind of want you just to kind of write that on your paper and think about that as you take the study home and review it. So what does the Bible teach us about the difference between acting redeemed by God and just going around and saying that you are? So you can get from the gist of what I've gone over, I'm going to talk a lot about what we do out here today. Because that is what people see. People don't see your heart. Bible says specifically that man looks on the outside, but God sees the heart, right? But if we're supposed to be an example in this kingdom, we can't walk around with our heart all exposed. Our heart is exposed by our actions and our attitude. So something has to line up here with here, here, and here. Something has to line up if we are going to spread this kingdom and bring people into truth. Amen? Amen? I want us to turn to Luke chapter 3. Look, we're in the New Testament today. Luke chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, grab a Bible. There's a lot of them in here. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. Through 14. I'm going to read 7 through 14, and then we're going to do a little bit diving in and go a little bit verse by verse with some of this stuff. Let's start at 7. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Woo! I don't know if you've done study on that, but do you know what thrown into the fire means?
No.
Yep. Pretty much. I didn't say a question. I just made a statement. The Bible says, we're just talking about the Bible, not good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 10, "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. Verse 11, John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" Verse 13, "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." Okay, quite a bit of stuff there that we're going to go over, and I'm excited about what God wants to share with you. But I first want to talk to you about what John is saying here. Is John addressing them about their houses and their cars and the way they dress? Does he mention anything like that? Does he mention that they don't wear the right shoes? They don't have good tan skin? No. What he is addressing is their character and their choices made by them. If John was chosen, he was chosen by God to prepare the way for Jesus, what is he possibly doing here to prepare these people for Christ's message? Addressing the actions of people reflected by the heart of people. So really, God is saying, as I'm preparing the way for the Messiah to come to these people, we've got to get to the heart of the issues, because we've already talked about it, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So how can we fix this when this is broken? When this is broken in our lives. You know, it's so interesting to me. We can be so good at speaking the language. Oh, sometimes some of us are really good at it. Like, "Oh, girl, praise God. He's good. I trust him. He's forever to be praised. He reigns. He rules." We get good at saying the langos, right? We're really good at speaking the language and saying the right thing at the right time. But then all of a sudden, we turn around and a situation is around us, and our actions and our attitude and our response to that situation doesn't represent anything that we just said. Not one thing. And then we wonder why the world has such a hard time believing that being sanctified and cleansed and restored by Jesus is actually the real deal. Come on, ladies, you got two on this one this morning. As we end this series of You Are Worth It, I believe that bringing your character to life will be worth it for your future. It will be worth it for your future. I want us to turn to verse 9 real quickly in the Bible, at this chapter we were just reading. And I want us to look specifically at what's being done here. Let's look at verse 9 real quickly. Am I on the right page? Here I am. All right. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Focus on this. Verse 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Produce fruit. Okay. So, producing fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. We know that was just what John was talking about. But John says the verb produce. He uses specifically the verb produce. Produce means to cause to happen, to cause to come into existence, to induce, to bring out, give rise to. So really, produce means something you make happen, right? Produce means something that you make happen. Ultimately, that's what that means. So when John says, does not produce, which is does not make something happen, your fruit will be cut off in your life. So ultimately, when you don't produce, you can be cut off. We're going to go deeper here. So producing, making something come forth, is what he is asking them to do. So he's asking them to do the opposite. Produce, make something come forth, make something happen as he prepares the way for the Messiah. He is telling these people, because everything he's doing is preparing the way for Messiah's message. So he's telling them specifically, you've got to produce, you've got to produce, you've got to have good come forth before this man can make his entrance in life. Come on, we're going someplace this morning, I promise you this. You've got to make something happen before this man can come forth and be released. What specifically is he asking them to produce, make happen? Because we can make a lot of things come out, right? And most of us have produced a lot of things come out of us. We can make things come out of us that are good, or we can make things that come out of us that are not so good. We can produce a lot of things in our life. But there is one word that John says that we're supposed to produce. What is that word that he says in front of fruit? Good. He says produce good fruit. Good fruit. So when I see the word good, I see God. Because Jesus says specifically that only God is good. He says he's the only thing that's good in this life. So when I see good and I see John the Baptist say good fruit, he's really saying God fruit. He's saying you've got to produce and make come forth, induce, make rise in your life God fruit. Come on, ladies, you're getting it now. I feel it. I feel like your wheels are turning. He's saying to prepare for Jesus' entrance into your life, into your home, into who you are and what you're called to be for this kingdom, you've got to produce some God fruit. Fruit only coming from him. All good things come from God. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So good fruit means God fruit. God producing stuff, which is not flesh producing stuff. Because that's easy to produce and bring forth, right? We can do that in an hour, real quick, wrap it up. But God producing stuff takes time, it takes character, it takes prayer, it takes repentance, and it takes humbleness. And the number one reason that John came, before he started teaching about their character, the number one thing that he was called to do was to say, first, repent. 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 And I talk a lot about repentance, but I feel like it's the most important thing that you do in your life before you do anything else. Repent. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me for the ignorant sin in my life. Forgive me for the known sin in my life. Forgive sins for my generation. I cut them off. I drag them into the pits of hell. They are no longer a part of this new future in my life. Father, I forgive family. I forgive friends. I forgive. I forgive. I repent for holding bitterness. I repent for holding things in my life that are not worth it. Repent. That's the first God fruit we've got to produce in our life. The first one. We have to have repentance. So God fruit is fruit that will last. That's what we want to produce, that which brings life. All right, we're going to go a little bit, what is it called when you study vegetation? Thank you, I can't say that word. We're going to go there for a minute. Okay, just for a minute. I might even try to say that word. Okay. So fruit, are you ready? Now y'all all gonna say it. Horticulture, horticulture. So fruit is anything that contains a seed. Fruit is anything that contains a seed in it. Why? Are you ready? Because a seed means it can bear life past its own. So why would God say you gotta have God fruit in your life? Because he doesn't give you this seed producing thing just to continue to produce in yourself. No, eventually it needs to be something that is producing life into other people. What if I just sat at home and read all these studies to myself over and over and over and over again? What would that do for the kingdom of God? Nothing. Nothing. No, the seed that's been given me, I've got to send it out into your lives, and then you've got to take it and then let it plant and grow in your life, and then you go out and send it into other people's life. This is how the kingdom of God makes a beautiful garden in this wicked, destructed world. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Woo, just got goosebumps and I'm sweating. How do you sweat and get goosebumps? I mean, Holy Spirit goosebumps, working sweat. I guess that's what that is. Hilarious. So, a seed means it can bear life past its own. God is all about producing past yourself. That's why he spends so much time on generational things. He's all about the next generation, the producing of life past your own. He's all about it. In fact, he started it in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, he says, I have made all these fruit, seed-producing fruits for you to live on. His whole idea was for man to constantly eat life. Life. His idea for man, his original intention was for him to always eat life. And let me tell you what, because of what Jesus did you know that's reversed and we now have that same blessing? We can constantly eat life or you can eat death. It's your choice. But it's available to us. Sorry, I don't want to fall on that thing. That would not be good. How many of y'all are done with lifeless fruit coming out of you? You're done. You're done. No more. I'm tired of nothing good coming out. I'm tired of not producing. What is the issue here? I want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I want to see his promises in my life. I want to see the things that he says he has for me that have been spoken over me in prayer, in prophecy, and in his word, and in the still small voice of the cave. I want to see these things. I want fruit with life in it. Man, that's my prayer. Let me tell you what. I want fruit with life in it. This fruit, this kind of fruit, ladies, you know you're bearing life fruit when it's contagious. Amen? When it's the kind that's contagious fruit that others see it and they desire it, they want it. They're like, man, there's something different about you. There's different life coming from you. Have you ever had someone say that to you? Oh, it brings a smile on your face because you know it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. And how he's transformed your life and he has healed it. And that is him. And that is him. Come on, ladies. The world calls this passing the love. They think that you can just pass love around. And you can't. It can go for a certain amount of time when you have a good attitude and everything's going right in your life. Everything's perfect. You just want to pass the love. What about passing the love when you're going through the depths of darkness in your life? When you're having a Jonah day? Fruit with life, so it can sink into others, and so on, and so on, and so on. And the kingdom of God is spread through a powerful seed that started in one person's life. That's cool stuff right there. When I think of a tree with fruit, and I think of what keeps it from producing life fruit, when I think about, well, what's the problem? What keeps a tree from bearing any life in it? You know, the Lord gave me the image of these trees. We live on 3 acres, and in the very back of our property, it's all covered. You can't even see it, but in the very back of our property, we have these really big trees. They're beautiful, but they're like Halloween trees. They have no fruit or vegetation on it. They have like 5 wimpy leaves. I mean, they look crazy, like a buzzard would, like, it'd be a buzzard's home, you know? Glad they're in the back, but like, you want to cut them down. Okay, come on, I'm going somewhere here. You want to cut them down because they don't look good. It's like, that's not pretty. No wonder John was saying, man, the axe is already at the root. Because it has life, they're big, they're there, but they're not producing anything good. So your initial reaction is you just want to get rid of it because it's like a hindrance, right? It's like a hindrance to what you're trying to show the vision to other people of what the kingdom of God is like, right? So I think of these trees and I look at it and I say, God, why are these trees producing? And if you look a little closer, you can see all these moss balls on them. You know, they look like gray hair, and they're all over these trees. And what happens is these moss balls attach themselves to these trees that have life in them. Okay, these trees started off with life because they're big and the trunks are huge. But over time, these moss balls have sucked the life out of these trees. And after a couple years, these trees look horrible. And they're not producing anything worth of value to anyone. I don't even think the squirrels jump on these trees. I'm serious. What keeps us from producing? Do we have mothballs on our trees? Are there things in our lives that keep us from really producing the life stuff that God has? And it's not like there's not life in you. There is life in you. But because of these mothballs, you can't see the evidence of the life because it's slowly draining you to be able to produce anything good in your life, right? We can have this. In John chapter 14, 44, a lot of you are familiar with the story of Lazarus. Amen? If you don't know it, you need to read it. It's good. You can write it down. John chapter 14, verse 44. Jesus specifically calls out to Lazarus and says, come up out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth. And right when he comes out of the grave, God, the first thing that Jesus says to him in his life, okay, in his death, God says, Lazarus, come forth. The first thing he says to him in his resurrected life was, take off your grave clothes and let him go. But he does not say it to Lazarus. He speaks it to the people around him, his disciples, ministers, family. Take off his grave clothes because he is too weak and bound to do it himself. Come on, ladies. This is where the body of Christ and the church comes together in unity and starts working to help people get their grave cloths. And once they get one arm out and once they get the other arm out, then they're able to go and help somebody else get their arm out and their arm out. And that's what it's called to be in unity, to have anointing, to work together, to not be separated because of jealousy and frustration and desire to want something that someone else has. It's when you have got your part and you're pulling out the leg and someone else is pulling out the arm and someone else is unwrapping the head, and then that person is getting free so they can go help the next person getting free. Come on, that's life changing right there. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Take off the stench of death. The stench of death. Moss on the trees is a dying mechanism that eventually kills the tree. Those trees will eventually decay and die. It's a stench. It's a sign of death. Meaning, take off the stench of death and the things that that bind you and keep you from producing fruit. What is binding you? What is keeping you wrapped up in a non-producing way? What are the things in your life that you know, that you know, that you know God has shown you, people have shown you, but you're not willing to deal with those things in your life? You're just not ready to go there, but they are the grave clothes that keep you from having the life that God wants for you. What are your moth balls or moss, whatever they're called? What are they in your life? Because John says specifically, if you don't deal with them, they will be cut off because the axe is already at the root. If that doesn't make you want to get a jump start on your moss, I don't know what does. There are three things that John deals with these people regarding their character. Three things, very specifically, and actually I've never really heard a teaching on this before. You hear a lot about the call to repentance through John the Baptist, but John the Baptist is the only one that really, really talks about character issues before Jesus comes, okay? So we're just going to point out these three character issues. What is he trying to teach us before possibly Jesus coming through and manifesting himself through us? Come on, ladies, this is exciting. I'm telling you, we're not even to the good stuff yet. Look at verse 11. The first character trait that he gives us, verse 11, let's read it. John, what should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. What is this character trait that he's talking about? Generosity, giving. Generosity and giving. He specifically says the first thing you need to get is that if you are flowing in abundance of something and you see somebody having a need that you have so much of, you meet that need. You do it in faith, knowing that God will bring it full back to you. You meet that need. This giving is a very interesting character trait because there are some people that this is not an issue for at all. You love to give. I mean, giving is, oh, I get to give? Yes! You know, it's your love language. It's how you show love. You give and you love giving back and you just, oh, it's so easy for you. But there are some of us that really struggle in this area. It's hard. You want to hang on to your stuff like this. And people have to pry, and God has to like pry it out of your hand one finger at a time. I mean, it is like, oh, do I have to? Oh, this hurts. But the first character trait that God talks about before anything, after repentance, it says get on the wave of generosity. Get into the stream of giving. Bless people. Just bless people where you need, where the need is. And it doesn't mean that you go in your home at home and take all your stuff and just stay out on the side of the road and say, come and get all my stuff. That's pretty crazy. I mean, there's some people where God calls them to do that kind of stuff. But I'm just talking about seeing a need, and if you have it, meet it. Meet it. Meet it. It might just be a Starbucks. It might just be a smile or a call or a hug or, hey, can I pray with you? Is there anything in your life that you need prayer over? Can I pray with you? I see that you have a financial need. Can I give you a little bit of money? I made a little extra money this month. Can I give that to you? Oh, you will not realize the joy in giving unless you do it. It feels so good to be unselfish. It just does. It's like another level of like joy in the kingdom of God. It feels good to give. It does. We just gotta allow the Lord to open us up and to allow him to work in that character trait if it's an issue. And you know, between you and God. What does he say next? Look at verse 12. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Okay. What is his character trait that he's asking? Integrity of heart. Everyone say integrity of heart. And you need to write that down on your little paper so you don't forget. He's saying the integrity of your heart, the truthfulness of what's really going on inside you. Now, we can think real big, and this can be a big thing or this can be a little thing. Like, we know what a big fat lie is. Like, oh, I donated, you know, $150 to an organization down the road, but you really didn't. So that's kind of a big lie, right? But then we have small places in our life where we don't have integrity of heart. Like where we, when we go at work and we see that there's, you know, they have extra paper clips or something, we're thinking, oh, I'll just take those. They have so many and their budget's so big, I'll just take them, no big deal, they won't even notice. Come on, ladies. You know that sometimes we don't even think about that. Those are little places of integrity of heart. Or like telling your husband, he comes home, he's like, oh, did you get the, what's it called, done? Uh-huh, yeah. And then as soon as he goes to the bathroom, you go outside and do that thing real fast. Come on, those are like little things that we do, and we think not such a big deal, but God wants us to address the little things of our heart, because the little things are what keep us snared. They will, because you'll get so accustomed in the little places that you're not honest, that the bigger places won't be so bad after a while. And if God, and if John is called to prepare the way for the Lord, and he's asking for repentance, he's asking for us to be generous, and he's asking us to have integrity in our heart, we need to pay attention. We just need to pay attention. Don't collect any more than you are required. Integrity of the heart. Be truthful even in the little things. Be truthful even in the little things. The Holy Spirit will stop me all the time on this, especially when I'm talking to my kids and they'll ask me questions like that are so off the wall and I just want to give them any answer because I'm so annoyed and I don't want to explain. I'll start to give them any answer and then I'll feel that tug. And I'm like, come on, Lord, you know, integrity of the heart. And I'll be like, oh. So then I have to go back there and say, okay, the truth is, this is really how it goes, you know? And I have to fix it because it just doesn't feel right. And God's saying, don't let the little things come in because the big things won't be a big deal to you. Let's look at the next thing. Verse 14. Are you ready? Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. All right, this one was a hard one, I thought. I had to really kind of pray about this one to see what God would say. But he told me to look up the word extort. Extort means to force people to do what you want them to do. Extort means to force people in to what it is you want them to do. You need to write that down. He says, don't accuse people falsely. But I want to talk about this extorting thing because we ladies like to do this. We do it very subtly, though. So here's an example. Are you ready for my skit? I know y'all like them. Okay, so here we are. This is like forcing people to do what we want them to do, but this is woman style, not soldier style, right? Okay. Honey, I need help. I need help. Okay, I'll be there in a minute. I just want to finish this ending of the football game. Okay, I'll just do it myself. Ah.
Now, how does that make your husband feel? You know he's not going to just sit there. He's going to be like, okay, get up and come help you, right? That's my husband. He'd do that. Oh, I told you to wait or whatever. You should have waited for me. And then he's all puffed up, you know, because I forced him by my actions and my attitude because I wanted it done then and now on my terms. And I didn't care about what he was doing or what game he was watching. I needed help then. And so I forced him to come help me. Now, in that force, we're now irritated with each other and there's unrest in my home. Okay, what about if you are talking to so-and-so or you're talking to your spouse or whoever, a friend, you say, oh, I heard so-and-so got this new thing and it's really cool. And yeah, it's really cool. Oh, that's great, honey. Yeah, it seems like it's a real benefit to them. I don't know. I mean, seems like they're really happy with it. And it's really, you know, it's really, really kind of a neat thing. I don't know. I mean, it's just really working for them. I really like it.
Her name's Alexis. She turns off the lights.
Who's Alexis?
Alexis is that little power that you talk to, you ask it, you
know. Oh, okay.
Alexis, shut the garage door.
There you go. Okay. Oh, we're in John. Oh, no, we're not in John. We're in Luke. The beginning verses, yes. John, we never went to John unless you wrote down in your paper about Lazarus. Yes, we're in Luke. So, okay, so in that skit, I'm trying to tell you that we do, so he's finally getting the hint that I want this thing, right? Right? And so by my actions and attitude and my perseverance to make him feel like, he'll eventually probably cave in and get that thing, right? I'm just trying to speak our language here, ladies, because I know it's relational when we're in the same place. We're not soldiers. We are silent sirens. Come on. We're not soldiers. We are silent sirens when it comes to our husbands. And we can siren them into good, or we can siren them into bad. So here we are. John's talking to these soldiers, and he's telling them, don't extort, don't force people to do what you want them to do. And we look at that and think, oh, that's not relatable to me. It is very relationable to you, very much. Silent sirens. Ooh. Okay, and then he ends with, be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Because there is a discontentment inside of us, ultimately. That's why we are silent sirens. That comes from a discontentment in our heart, obviously. Okay, if we were just fabulous 24/7, we wouldn't do things like that. But there's ultimately a discontentment inside that thinks we need what we want. And when we don't get it, we force it. Bottom line. And it comes from an inner discontentment. God has all your needs. We don't have to weasel, demoralize others to get it. You don't have to. You don't have to. I was horrible at this. Horrible at this. I just had a good way.
So would you call what you would just describe it, like, would it be manipulation? Is
that
an accurate way to describe
probably.
That?
Manipulation. Yeah.
Is there another thing? What I used to do,
Margaret, and your stories, you're hilarious. Margaret could write a book. She would, and it'd be funny. It'd be so funny. It'd be the laughs of Margaret. I love it. Okay, if John is called to prepare the way for Jesus, if he was called to prepare the way for Jesus, right? That's his whole thing. That was prophesied, that was foretold, talk about the birthing process for that whole thing, right? Huge. He was called to prepare the way for Jesus. What do you think these character heart issues will do to prepare Jesus' entrance through you? Come on. Everything in the Bible is relational to us and right now and what we want God to do in our lives and what he wants to do in our lives, better said.
If John is called to prepare the way, what are these things that we're talking about right now? What are these character things that God is wanting to deal with in our lives before Jesus can ultimately make his grand entrance through us? He's planting the seed. He's giving direction. Yes, exactly. That's what he's doing. What is Jesus wanting you to focus on before you are prepared for him to move through you? Come on. We're going to go somewhere right now. Are there areas of your life and you're not seeing fruit and you're not seeing Jesus move in those areas of your life because you have not prepared your entrance and your way for him to come? Come on, ladies. Think here this morning. What are some areas of your life that you're not seeing God meet you there or come through there because possibly you have not prepared the way for him to come? Maybe there's some character issues he wants to deal with before he can come through. Because I'm going to tell you something. If he's coming through you and you've got bad character, then your bad character is going to be a reflection on him. Character is an issue for people. Your anointing, your gift in life will get you places, but I'm going to tell you something. Your character is what will keep you in that place. Your character is what will prosper you in that place. That character will be your favor in your life. There are many people that make it up to the top real fast, real fast, real fast, and they fall just as fast as they make it because they had the anointing and they had the gifting to get to where they were going, but they lacked the character in their life to keep what God had given them. I'm telling you, character is huge, and character is a huge reflection on the body of believers in our life. The world is looking at our character. The world is looking at our actions and our attitude, and they're looking to see. They're looking at us with microscopic tools, it's almost like. They want to get any gritty thing that they can on the body of believers to tell us that we're not truthful. They want to see the fruit and the benefits. What is Jesus wanting you to do? This is personal. We all want the big. But God is addressing the small places of the heart. The small places of our heart. He's addressing those. So, testimony time. When I first began to seek God with a whole heart. Now, I need to tell you this. Whole heart is a different approach to God than seeking him for some kind of need. Okay? There are two ways you can seek God. You can seek him with a whole heart, just wanting to know him. Just want to know who this God is. I just want to feel his presence. And then always coming to God with intentions of him meeting your need and your situation at that moment. Those are two different places you can go with seeking God. Come on, ladies. The first thing God did in my life when I began to seek him wholeheartedly, I just wanted to know. My whole life I had sought him with intention. But when I just needed to have an understanding of who he was, despite my circumstance, my pain, what I was in at that moment, you'd think I'd just be crying out for my own needs. I just needed to know who he was so I could understand what the heck he was allowing me to walk through. So as I began to seek him wholeheartedly, he didn't come and tell me, Amanda, I'm going to call you to teach. I'm going to give you words and revelation and prayers to give to the body of Christ. No, he didn't do any of that stuff. You know what he did? He told me my character was bad and I needed a ton of refinement. And he put me through character refinement 101 for a while. I constantly listened to teachings and all sorts of stuff on the character of the heart and understanding of the little things that the body of Christ does not do that we need to do so people can know that we are actually different and that we're different from the rest of the world. He worked on me. Man, it was tough. I remember crying and going through stuff and being like, this is so pooey to be pruned. I used to call it pooey pruning. Pooey pruning. It hurt. It hurt. But it was seasonal. It was seasonal. Once I made it through that and those character changes and I was listening to them and then I started to apply them in my life, which was
hard at the beginning, but then it began to become easier as I began to know more of my identity in Christ and who I was and who and how blessed I was. I began to be able to have the kind of character that he wanted me to have in this world, and it became easier to forgive people. It became easier to give someone a compliment. It became easier to make people higher than myself in daily life. It made it easier. He put me through character school before the words, before the studies, before the revelations, before the women's retreat and the conferences and the things he's allowed me to be a part of. It was a spin cycle of character that he wanted me to get. And he kept pushing spin, spin again, spin again, spin again, until he knew that I was ready. Because he had plans for me and he didn't want me to fall flat on my face because I didn't have the character yet to sustain me. Character. Character. And I kept thanking the Lord. Thank you for not throwing me out after the last spin cycle. Thank you that it reshaped me and it molded me and it taught me how to really live this life with joy. Because that's what it's about. Living the daily life with joy. Not when you're in Jamaica, not when you're in Hawaii, not when you purchase the Lexus and the big car. Those are temporary things. But to really live and walk out every single day with joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, it's a powerful weapon against the enemy to have joy, not in your circumstances, not in the physical, but just to have joy because of who Jesus is. Do you understand that's the one place that the devil can't attack in your life? He can attack all this stuff, the silly stuff out here. If our joy is in those things, then we'll get. But if our joy is not in there and we truly walk in the joy of the Lord every day, you will never, ever have your joy stolen, because he cannot steal what God's done in your life. Jesus already overcame it. The grave has already been overcome. Amen? He was preparing the way. He was preparing the way. After I went through this cycle of character traits and was getting my moth off, God started to move through me. And I began to see his presence and entrance in my life in different places I had only hope to dream of. Deal with the little places of the heart, and God will bring the wonders of his kingdom. He truly will. I know that's pretty basic, but it's really true. Thank you, God, so much for restoring us and not throwing us away. Father, thank you for second and third and four and 10 spin cycles. How many it takes, Lord, to get us to understand, Lord, that the little places of the heart, the little character issues that are such a representation of who we are, Lord, that they would just become who you are, Lord. And we give them to you, Lord. And we just pray that we would operate not by our flesh, but by our spirit, Lord. That the world would truly see us lined up with people and see that there is a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference. These people live in joy and they live in hope and they don't live for the everyday highs of this world. They live in a constant high from what was given to them at Calvary. Father, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for the study, and I thank you for these women. And Father, I thank you for this broccoli and spinach teachings here right now. Lord, I pray it's not too hard for them to digest. But Father, it's your word, and they would just go forth and it would do what you would have them do in their life, Lord Jesus. That they would receive it, that they would walk it out and truly see the entrance, the places in their heart that they've been crying out for to see you, Lord. That you would truly make yourself known in those places as they deal with these things, Lord. I just feel like that's something I want to leave with y'all. That the places that you've cried out for Jesus to show up, deal with the character, deal with the moss, and you will see him mightily in your life. You will see him move. You will see him take entrance. Father, thank you. We give this time to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Amen, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God gets all the glory. He's so good. He's so amazing. I would love for us to still meet in our small groups today, even though it's the last day. grab you a cup of coffee and a gluten-free cake pop and stay. Because maybe there would be some ministry. I feel like God wants to minister to some people. And there's ministry that happens in small groups. So today's the last day for offerings. Y'all have been so amazing. Thank y'all for your giving heart. Hopefully we can get this website eventually started as God leads us and directs us. Y'all are awesome, and I look forward to seeing y'all in the spring. We're going to study the book of Ruth. I know. I'm excited about it. So y'all pray for me. I've got several speaking engagements happening before Christmas. One of them's in Dallas, and it's with the people I don't really know, so that's kind of interesting. So if I just come to your mind, just pray that the Lord would just bring me peace, and I'll go and do, huh? I have two in November and one next week, next Wednesday night. Speaking engagements at different places. What? No, just one. I'm speaking at a women's retreat in Dallas. Yes. That's in November. And then two others in San Antonio, or the area. So, praise God.
Are you going to go by yourself or will your family go with you?
No, it's Friday all day and Saturday, and I'm flying home Saturday night.
Okay,
so
you're going to fly.
I'm going to fly. Yeah, they're going to fly me up there.
I was just curious because when my mom has a house in Fort Worth that we're trying to sell.
Yeah?
So I am driving, like I've driven back and forth to Fort Worth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hundreds of times. But
well, are you going the weekend of November? It's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That's when I have to go. Oh my gosh.